Hello again, Nightmare Society, and happy holidays. I hope you're getting some well-deserved time off. I've procured a couple of stories for you to enjoy this holiday week, so let's dig in. Thank you to user ElasticHeart1388 and user RipKid, who can also be found on Twitter at RealG_RIP, for allowing me to share their stories. So, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
We were living in a bad part of town. Well, it wasn't horrible, but you always locked your car doors, car trunk, pretty much anything with a lock, you locked it. This night was like any other. We were watching TV and both of us were playing on our PCs in the living room. We are huge gaming nerds and our PCs are always in the living room. At this time, our cat, Bleach Spot, nicknamed because she had one white spot on the top of her head, was sitting in the kitchen window crying, which was odd because she didn't cry very much. My husband proceeded to get up and go check things out and see a foot. Yes, a foot in our kitchen window. My husband opens the window and asks the guy why he is standing in our kitchen window. This guy was a Hispanic guy who apparently lived in the apartment above ours, got locked out somehow, and was trying to crawl up the outside of the building back into their apartment. He told the guy to get down from there before he breaks his neck. The guy tells my husband okay and proceeds to climb down. He also had to climb down because my husband was hanging on to his foot as well. He was not letting that guy climb up the outside wall. Now, just think for a second. These were two-story apartments and he was almost to the second story, so I'm guessing that he was already 8 feet in the air. How he thought that he was going to be able to climb up there is beyond any rational thoughts I can put together. Now, while the guy was climbing down, my husband gets on the phone and calls 911. It just didn't look right. I mean, clearly it didn't look right for him to be climbing up there. I mean, if I was locked out for a good reason, you would call the landlord or the maintenance man to come let you back in your apartment. Our landlord lived in the premises along with the maintenance man as well. So we knew that something fishy was going on here. We called 911, explained this guy was climbing up the outside of the building trying to get into the top apartment, and they said they would send someone out. This guy comes around the front of the apartment building, goes upstairs, and proceeds to beat on the door for about 15 minutes straight. My husband even opened the door and hollered upstairs and told him to knock it off, that it was getting very late. It was around 1 a.m. at this time. He is still beating on the door when the cop arrives to find out what is going on, or arrest him, whatever they had planned to do here. The cop goes upstairs and tells him to stop beating on the door and to come downstairs so they could talk and settle things. Well, this guy didn't like the cop apparently, so somehow in an enclosed breezeway he gets away from the cop and runs off. The next thing I know, I find out why this guy was climbing up our window and upstairs beating the door down. A lady cop came to our door and wanted to come inside to talk to us. She told us this guy was kicked out by his girlfriend. He was illegally in the US, and the reason she wasn't up there? Her and her mother both were in the hospital. He had beaten both of them black and blue with a baseball bat. His girlfriend wanted to break up with him, and she did. He got mad and almost beat them to death. Apparently, he did all of this before we had gotten home that evening, and while we were at my husband's mother's house. So, when we got home, the commotion was already over, and no one had told us a thing. The female cop, who, by the way, was about 6'2", I would not want to mess with her, told us to make sure and lock all of our windows and keep the front door locked. They were going to have a cop car with a spotlight all night long checking over the apartment complex and basically in the area where these apartments were located. She said to consider this guy very dangerous and not to try and apprehend him ourselves. We agreed with her. She gave us her card and told us good night. The next day, the sweet lady who lived across the hall from us came over to let us in on some more information. Apparently, they did find the guy, but he was never caught because he got away from them again. The mother and daughter, or, well, his ex-girlfriend, were stable but still in bad shape, but they would make it. So, guy climbing up our kitchen window that weird night. Let's never meet again.
And now, a quick word from this episode's sponsor.
Hey, Nightmare Family. While I pride myself in sharing the most terrifying content I can find, I wanted to take a moment to share a little joy. A new game I've been playing called Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game you can play right on your phone. It's really cool because you go through all these different levels solving puzzles, and I personally like how it adds another dimension to the puzzles through collecting and upgrading different characters. I'm already at level 61, and that says a lot for me because I'm not really a gamer. But it's not really a game for gamers. It's more casual, which is perfect for me. I often need to take breaks when in long recording sessions, and I just pick up Best Fiends to relax for a few minutes here and there, which is better than scrolling through my uncle's latest political posts. The best part is I don't have to fight over data usage with my wife since it doesn't require the internet. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cool characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
When you're a child, the world is a playground. It was the first official day of summer, and I had just made a pact with my closest friends, Josh, Ryan, and Mikey. We paused a game of Super Smash Bros. To agree in unison that we would live up every single day, rain or shine, because junior high awaited us in the fall. Yeah, we literally had a fear of losing each other. As a club, we called it. Because the thought of combining two elementary schools into a new building scared the crap out of us. Little did we know at that time what high school or even college would present. Oh, to have a young mind again. We sealed this pact with a 4-way special club handshake, and the first adventure was about to begin. We turned off the Nintendo 64, threw out our Lunchables, and all sprinted outside of Josh's house. His house was at the very end of a dead-end street, so we each already knew which direction to set off in. All four of us grabbed our bikes and quickly hopped on to ride together. I called for a spontaneous bike race to the next street sign about half a mile down, and everyone joined in. I won, of course, since I gave myself a bit of a head start in the beginning. I was nearly beat by Ryan, though, who for his birthday had just received the newest and fastest bike a kid our age heard about. My old beat-down BMX bike stood no chance in a fair race, but I would never admit that. We biked around for hours, stopping at convenience stores for snacks and going from park to park just playing around. Even though literally nothing special occurred, it was still an amazing day. My friends and I never had big ideas of where we were going or what we were going to do. But, back then at least, when you were with your best friends, plans didn't matter. They just happened. It was just dusk before we were going back to Josh's house. The pace was incredibly slow since we had biked for around 6 hours with minimal rest. We turned onto the street when Mikey's Game Boy Color fell out of his pocket. Why he didn't leave it at the house earlier, I did not know. We all stopped with him as he went to retrieve it, and that gave me a moment to rest my legs a bit. I looked around the calm and content street, only to notice a creepy, woody lot that no kid ever went into. The lot had been up for sale for quite some time, but no one ever bought it. That gave reason for all the neighborhood kids to speculate about whether or not it was haunted. There was a rumor that beyond the lot, as it backed up into a forest, that there was an abandoned clubhouse. Then I thought, wait, we could take that over, the clubhouse. We should be the first kids to ever enter the lot. I pitched the idea to my friends who were split on it. Ryan really wanted to go. Josh really didn't want to go. And Mikey was at the point of crying because he declared his Game Boy Color broken. I eventually convinced all of them that we should be the first kids brave enough to enter the lot. And since we had our own club, taking over the clubhouse would be epic. We went over to it, made sure no neighbors were watching, and then sprinted our bikes inside the woods. We hid them on the side and took our first steps into the dark and ominous lot. Even though the sun had not officially set yet, the woods were nearly pitch black. No one had flashlights, but our eyes eventually adjusted. We got to the very end of the lot. We knew that because of a broken down, rusty fence. We looked past the fence into what was a thicker and more dense version of the woods on this lot. Still, no one backed out. So we hopped the fence going forward. We walked for a good mile before finding the clubhouse. But disappointment set in as we saw it was broken down to the point that the only fix was completely rebuilding it. Great. So much for that. We almost began to go back when Ryan noticed something in front of us. There was a dim fire lit in the distance, and voices were softly heard. I put my finger to my mouth to motion silence, and we went to sneak up closer. We saw nothing as we snuck up, staying hidden behind bushes. But we began to hear the voices more vividly. They were chants, and made no sense to us. It was not English. We got about 50 yards away when I peeked over the bush in front of me. I saw three figures with all black clothing sitting on individual benches around a fire. There was a small, broken-down tool shed near this fire pit as well. It was painted bright pink with hippie flowers and peace signs drawn on it. There was writing as well, but I could not make it out. It was an odd image to see such dark characters sitting next to a bright shed. But this situation was already weird enough. I sat back down as the chanting continued with the same words over and over again. It sounded like, "Totus in terro nisago." I looked at my friends who were obviously terrified of what we were both seeing and hearing. I attempted to think of a way out, but then the chanting stopped. My heart dropped as I peeked over the bush again. I saw the figures all leaving in the opposite direction from where we came, going deeper into the woods. Once the figures were officially gone, all four of us stood up, terrified. Still whispering, Josh pleaded that all of us sprint back the way we came. Ryan agreed that we should, but countered that first we should look inside of the tool shed. Originally, I was all for leaving immediately, but I had forgotten about the tool shed. Mikey stood silent. The kid never had an opinion. Reluctantly, Josh agreed, so we all snuck past the still-burning fire to go to the shed. I could now read the writing that was on it.
It said, "The tool shed of love." We got around to the front of the shed and Ryan was the first to the door. He turned around and whispered that it was shut with a master lock. However, Mikey finally spoke and pointed out that everything was so old it could be broken into. After kicking it 3 times, the lock fell off with the front part of the latch. The door slightly opened on its own, and we knew now we could enter the shed. I was the first to the door, having been the one to kick it open, when I got a whiff of a horrible odor. I quickly plugged my nose, not thinking much of it, when I swung the door wide open. We all screamed like girls at what we saw. Inside the shed were 7 mutilated rabbits, hanging from the ceiling on fishing line. Behind them on the shelves were dead squirrels and chipmunks. Around that were old burnt candles everywhere, along with a fake human skull. We continued to scream as we turned to run back. Just as we did that, in the distance we saw the 3 figures returning. They saw us as well, pointing and screaming while beginning to run. I screamed even louder as I sprinted away faster than I ever had in my life before. I got in front of all of my friends and did not look back for about 30 seconds. I glanced behind to see that all the guys were still with me and 3 figures had stopped chasing us. That, however, did not derail my pace as I continued to sprint at full speed. We finally got to where we stashed our bikes and quickly left the lot. We got back to Josh's house and he immediately, as kids that age tend to do, told his parents what we had just saw and found. They wound up calling the town police just to check it out, and the cops did. A couple of hours later, an officer showed up to the house. We were in Josh's bedroom, but all stayed quiet and huddled around the door to listen as the cop was let in. He told the parents that they found everything that we had said was there, but no people. He stated that they've seen similar events in those woods and believe it's the work of a local cult. He urged them that nobody on this street should be afraid, but everyone should avoid entering that lot and forest. We then heard the cop asking where us kids were, so we quickly left the door and pretended to do something. I believe I may have held a book upside briefly, if I do remember correctly. The cop knocked on the door and we let him in. He went on to explain to us that people who are not so nice hang out in those woods, and that we should never enter there again. He asked us if we understood, and we all said yes. He then shook our hands and left. We got the same exact talk moments later from Josh's parents, and normally I would have been annoyed. But clearly this was a different type of situation. Even though we were as rebellious as the next kid was, none of us ever wanted to go back into the lot or that forest. About a year after this all happened, the lot was purchased by a contractor. Today, a giant house sits on the lot. Huh. I wonder if the occupants know what occurred there decades prior. Another big thanks to user ElasticHeart1388 and user Ripkid, also found on Twitter as @RealG_RIP, for allowing me to share their stories with you tonight. You can send your true horror story to NightmareSocietyRadio@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram @NightmareSocietyRadio. And Twitter @society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a happy holiday. Until next year.
Sweet dreams.